Okay, the kids are dismissed for junior church. Amen. And I'd like to introduce our guest speaker today, Josh Burbank, which sounds very Hollywoodish because I just think of Jay Leno from the Burbank Studios. So, Josh Burbank. And where do you hail from?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
I was born in Carlisle.
Okay. Amen. All right. Well, let's welcome Josh this morning to bring the word to us.
Okay. That was loud. Sorry about that. I'll be fine till afterwards. Thanks, Grandma. Oh, that's even better.
What the morning is over.
All right. Okay. Now, Art's not here right now, but I wanted to thank him for saying that. He's probably expecting something in return, though, you know. I mean, he is building a pool right now, and I'm working for Paul Weaver, Weaver's Pools, so he probably expects at least two or three nights of me coming out there and helping him, but I do what I have to, you know. But thanks to Art, and thanks to all of you for being here and for giving me this opportunity again. I appreciate it. And this morning we're going to look at two verses, and it's not going to be... You know, the two verses hopefully will reflect the length of the message maybe for you guys. Hopefully get you out on time today. Romans 1, 16 and 17 is what we're going to look at this morning. Romans 1, 16 and 17. And most of you here probably like to drink pop or soda, whatever you guys call it. It probably depends on where you're from. If you're from the south, you most likely call it soda, and if you're from the north here, it probably is called pop. At least it should be, right? Everybody in agreement now? Well, I like drinking pop. I try not to drink it as much as I used to, because supposedly it's not very good for you. But anyways, if you like pop, you probably have an opinion on which is better, Coke or Pepsi. Now, we're talking just the plain drinks, you know, just plain Coke, plain Pepsi, not vanilla or cherry or any of that, okay? It's the plain Coke or plain Pepsi. Does anybody have an idea which one's better? Say Coke. Who likes Coke better? Okay, just two. And then Pepsi? Oh boy. Pepsi people win, I guess. I don't know. I think I might agree with the Pepsi people. That's not just because there's more of you. Okay. But anyways, we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, surprisingly enough. Now everybody's going to be thirsty. At least I got water up here. But I found some statistics about Coca-Cola. Those of you that do like Coca-Cola, this will really be an impact in your lives, I'm sure. I found them on Bible.org, actually. And it's about the popularity of Coca-Cola in the world we live in today. The impact of Coca-Cola. 91% of the world's population has heard of Coke. 74% have seen Coke. 51% have tasted it. That's Coca-Cola, not Coke smoking. All right, just to make that clear, it's Coca-Cola still. 51% have tasted, 74% have seen, 91% has heard of it. And 10% of the world's population has heard of the gospel. Now, these are some sobering statistics. When most of the world has heard about a drink called Coca-Cola, a pop, soda, whatever you guys want to call it, that's what it is, it's a drink. And they've heard of that. Most people have tested it, tasted it at least, you know, seen it. But only 10% of the world's population has heard of the gospel, much less taken to heart what its message is and accepted it in their own lives. Most of the people in the world have not even heard of the gospel. The Apostle Paul was all about the gospel. If you read the book of Romans, the whole book of Romans is focused on the gospel. The first verse in Romans says that Paul was separated unto the gospel. And later on, verses 16 and 17, what we're looking at today, he says he's not ashamed of the gospel. And a few chapters later, he tells us what the gospel is. And his whole life was focused on that. God totally changed Paul from what he used to be. Paul used to persecute Christians, and now he changed 180 degrees. And now, in this book, he is serving God, he is telling others about the gospel. And that's his whole focus in his life. He is not ashamed of the gospel. Paul realized the need for people to hear the gospel, to hear the good news. And Paul makes it clear that the gospel was at the center of his life. It was his priority to tell others about the gospel. Paul introduces his letter to the Church of Rome here in Romans by letting them know of his desire to come and preach to them. He wanted to come to Rome and preach to the Romans there. But he couldn't do this at that time, so he wrote this letter and just to keep them over until he showed up, basically. And he explained the most important things that he felt they needed to hear. And one of those was definitely the gospel. That was the central theme of his whole book that he wrote to them. The main focus of verses 16 and 17 is that Paul was confident in the gospel because through it, God saves those who believe and displays his righteousness in the faith that it takes to be saved. From this theme, we understand that we should be bold witnesses of Christ's gospel and should never be ashamed of it. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We should be proud of it. God has done so much for us through that, and he's given it to us freely. And we didn't deserve it at all. We deserved punishment, eternal punishment in hell. So first of all, let's look at the first point in our outline today. And could anybody guess? The point is, don't be ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul's verse here says. Let's look at the verses that we mentioned earlier. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. Let's go ahead and read them this morning. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So in the first verse there, verse 16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul states that he's not ashamed of the gospel. So what does that mean? the word ashamed, Merriam-Webster helped me out here with his dictionary. It says the first definition is feeling shame, guilt, or disgrace. The second definition, feeling inferior or unworthy. And while she was enjoying a transatlantic ocean trip, Billy Burke, a famous actress, noticed a gentleman at the next table that wasn't doing so well. He looked like he had a cold, and he looked like he was just miserable. And so she went up to him and asked if he was feeling uncomfortable. And the man nodded in agreement, and she said to him, "I'll tell you just what to do for it," she offered. She said, "Go back to your stateroom, drink lots of orange juice, take a couple aspirin, bundle up with all the blankets you can find, and sweat the cold out." She says, "I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm Billy Burke, the actress from Hollywood." So the man smiled and warmly and introduced himself in return. "Thank you," he said. "I'm Dr. Mayo from the Mayo Clinic." So I'm pretty sure that this lady here was a little embarrassed about that, and she was probably ashamed because she figured that she was a somebody because she was an actress in Hollywood. Well, this guy was the doctor from the Mayo Clinic. Well, he knew what he was doing. He knew how to get rid of a cold. But she probably didn't want this story told very much because she was embarrassed about it, right? Well, I found it, so I told you guys about it. But she was ashamed. She was embarrassed. If we were embarrassed or ashamed about something, we don't talk about it much or really promote that. We kind of hold it back from others, right? As far as the gospel goes, Paul says he was not ashamed about it at all. And we see from his life that that is true. He was not ashamed of the gospel at all. He didn't hold it back from anybody. He told everyone that he came in contact with about the gospel of Christ. Paul is known by most Christians as the greatest missionary ever. He did not hide the fact that he loved God and wanted others to know more about him. The gospel is summed up well in a few chapters later after chapter 1. It's in chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Paul mentions that the gospel, he mentions that all are sinners and that the law shows us our sin. And then later on in chapter 6, verse 23, says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And finally, Romans 10:13, Paul later on writes about the gospel that it says there, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he sums it up very simply in his book to the Romans here. And many of you know this to be the Romans Road. Paul's life revolved around this message. His life revolved around telling this message of the gospel to others. Paul stated in verse 1 of Romans that he was separated unto the gospel of God. All throughout Romans, Paul's life and ministry was always focused on the gospel. He even witnessed at one point in his ministry to an angry mob that had taken hold of him. The Romans actually came and rescued him from the angry mob. The Jews that had grabbed him were sworn with each other that they would kill him. They would not rest or eat anything until Paul was dead. Well, the Romans rescued him. And what did Paul say? He said, hold on, Romans, you know, stop rescuing me for a second. I got to tell these guys something. And he turned around and told that angry mob about the gospel. He witnessed to them. Now, I don't know if any of us could do that. I think I'd be kind of scared to talk to somebody that's trying to kill me. But Paul did that, and that shows us that the gospel was the main focus of his life. It didn't matter what he was going through, he was still focused on telling others about Christ. If the gospel meant so much to Paul, and he was not ashamed of it, we should definitely do the same. We should strive to be like Paul and stand with him and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ either. If you are saved, the power of God through the gospel has done so much in your life that you should desire to live for Christ and to do His will and share the gospel with others. That is His will for us to do. Like Paul, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We should be proud of the gospel of Christ. It has done so much for us. A few summers ago, I had the opportunity to go up to Alaska and I did a little hunting up there. And this was just after I had commercial fished for about a month and a half or so. And we had a 32-foot boat that we were on. So you can imagine how much leg exercise you get on a 32-foot boat. You can use your imagination. Nevertheless, needless to say, I wasn't in shape. And up in Alaska, it's not like here, hunting isn't. You don't sit in a tree stand and wait for the deer to come to you. You hike up on top of the mountain, and you look down in the valleys all around you, and you try to spot deer, and then track them down and shoot them like that. So we got up to the top of the mountain, and I cramped up in both legs and couldn't go any farther. But the thing was happening, though. We went up on a very tall mountain, probably 6,000 feet elevation or something like that, and we were on some very steep areas, and I was watching the person in front of me, where he put his feet, what he did with his gun, what he was holding on to as well. I wanted to make sure, because he wasn't falling, I didn't want to fall myself. So I was doing the same things he was doing. Well, it's just like that in the Bible here. Paul actually says in Philippians 4, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and seen and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Could we say that to others about our lives? Could we say, hey, whatever you see me do, you should do it because that's what God wants us to do. Could you say that about your life? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Paul wasn't. So why should we, like Paul, not be ashamed of the gospel? Why do we need to do that? Why should we not be ashamed? What made him such a powerful proclaimer of God and His Word, of the gospel? Why did Paul start the letter of Romans saying that he was set apart to the gospel, saying that he's not ashamed of the gospel, and then going on to explain the gospel? It must have been very important to Paul, and I think that Paul wanted us to notice that importance as well in our lives. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He was proud of the gospel and shared it wherever he went. God's plan of salvation was the key focus in his life. So why should we seek to make the gospel the focus of our lives? Why should we focus on the gospel like Paul? Well, let's look at the verses once again, Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul actually answers this question in verse 16. Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now he backs up his statement of saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, with, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. See, this thing is not a thing of our own. This thing is nothing of what we have done. It's all of what God has done, what God has done for us. And Paul replies to that question by saying, it's the power of God. We can't be ashamed of the power of God. Paul is saying that the gospel is the means whereby God's power works salvation in the hearts of those that believe. And it is only through the power of God that anyone can be saved. There is no other way to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God made this one way to salvation. God made this one plan, the gospel message. And through Him, we can be saved, through His power. It's nothing that we can do. We can't say, hey God, hopefully my good works will get me there, you know? Hopefully, you know, when I come to church here and preach, you know, hopefully that'll make it so I can get into your heaven, right, God? You can't say stuff like that. Only God can let us into heaven. By His own power are we saved, not by our own power. So the gospel is the means that God provides, whereby all those that believe in Him through faith will be saved. So that sums it up in verse 16 there. God's plan of salvation was given to Israel first, and then spread throughout the world. Jew first, and also to the Greek. Everyone else as well. So anyone who believes can accept the gospel message and be saved through God's power. So God displays His power and His righteousness through the gospel. Man cannot obtain righteousness or anything or eternal life through anybody else or anything else through his own works or anything like that. It's only through God's power. This is the plan that God made for mankind, Jews and Gentiles alike, and we should praise Him for it. God is all-powerful, and He has chosen to reveal His mighty strength in the gospel message. So we need His power to accept this message by faith. We also need His power to live out this message, to live out the gospel before others each day. So we must not be ashamed of this great truth that He has given us. We must not be ashamed of this decision that we've made in our lives, this acceptance of this free gift. We can't be ashamed of that. So the President of the United States, now there's probably some resentment already building up with some of you, I don't know. But the President has certain powers, and whether he uses them right or wrong, he does have these powers. He has the power to veto, is one of the powers, and we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. This is the power that when a bill or something comes in from the House or the Senate, or I'm not familiar with everything that goes on there, but when a bill comes across his desk, he has the power to say, no, that's not going through anymore. Now, they have to re-vote on it to overrule that. They could overrule it, but he does have the power to say, no, that bill is not going through. Now, if the President never used that power, we wouldn't even know that he had it, right? Like, if he didn't even use the power to veto a bill, we'd say, well, he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that power, because he never uses it. When he did use it, when he does use it, then we say, oh, yeah, he can do that. He has the power to do that. And the same thing is true with God. He shows us His power through salvation. When God saves people, He shows us His power. We know that God has the power to save people, but He's still doing that. He's still showing us His power. And that's what He does. God designed the plan of salvation and displayed His amazing power through that plan. God showed us His power through the gospel. God showed us His power when He healed, when he saved Zacchaeus, the cheating tax collector. God showed us His power when He saved the lame man from birth. He healed him and saved him. He also showed His awesome power by saving the dying thief on the cross. There's a basketball ministry called National Hoops that I traveled with a few months ago. And they're also traveling worldwide and ministering to different people groups with the game of basketball as their tool to bring people to Christ. And I just received a text a couple weeks ago that 72 people were saved in the Philippines in the first basketball tournament that they had this year. God showed His power in that. And God showed His power when He saved you as well. Those of you who are saved in here, God showed His power when you were saved. God is still working, and His amazing power is seen through the gospel. Now that we've seen that God's power is seen in the gospel, He can save anyone. He loves everyone and desires everyone to be saved. If anyone looks to Him in faith, He will save them. He does all the work. All we have to do is trust in Him. But finally, we find yet another reason why we should not be ashamed of the gospel. And let's look at verse 17. Let's look at verse 17. Romans 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, therein, in the gospel, it's basically saying, is the righteousness of God revealed. God not only displays His power in salvation, He also reveals His righteousness. And Paul doesn't leave his argument at the point that God displays His power through the gospel. He also goes on to say, in verse 17, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. This means that God's righteousness is revealed by faith in the gospel, and also is revealed by faith after we are saved, living faith in the gospel and in God. God is holy and cannot look on sin. He will punish the wicked. And the only way that we can be saved, the only way that we can have righteousness, is through Christ. So when we're sinners, when we were, most of you probably are saved in here, but when you were a sinner before you were saved, God could not look on your sin. God is a holy God, and He will punish sin. But He made a way so we could have righteousness through Christ. Christ sacrificed Himself on the cross, but if we just accept that sacrifice on the cross, Christ will take our sin, place it on Christ. God will take our sin, place it on Christ, and He will take Christ's righteousness and give it to us. So it's nothing that we do. It's all God. And so that basically makes us equal or in the same place as God's Son. It makes us children of God. So through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we can be forgiven for our sins. And then we are given the righteousness of Christ. God made it so that it is just like we had never sinned at all. That's what the word justified means. This righteousness of God is given to us and is revealed from faith to faith. Now, the meaning of from faith to faith here in this verse is argued about or debated among many Bible scholars, but it most likely means that the gospel is displays God's righteousness in faithful acceptance of His salvation, and then in faith after you're saved as well, in faithful living out of that gospel. We need God and His power when we are saved, and He gives it to us. But we also need God and His power after we are saved. We can't live for Him even now that we're saved. We can't live for Him. We can't do what's right. We can't always do the right thing in every situation. We still have our flesh and we still have temptation. But through God's power, through His Spirit, He can help us. And we have to have faith in Him. We have to trust Him and say, God, help us here, because we can't do it on our own. We can't do what we should on our own. Paul states, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The last statement there. And Paul is affirming what he is saying by using an Old Testament passage here. It's a verse from Habakkuk 2:4. And he is asserting that the just, or those who are justified or made righteous, will live by faith in God. We can't live by any other means but through God's power. Just like in Sunday school, you know, it said that we can do nothing without Him. Well, that's true here as well. We cannot do anything without God. He is the vine. We are the branches. So God has shown us His righteousness and grace by His wonderful plan of salvation. The gospel presents His righteousness to us by helping us realize what a loving and gracious God we serve. Instead of punishing us for our sin, God gave us Christ's righteousness. Through Jesus, we are declared righteous. So we're no longer under God's wrath. We deserve penalty for our sin. We deserve eternal wrath, eternal separation from God. But God decided, no, if they accept my Son, He loved us so much, even though we weren't lovable. We were sinners against Him. But He loved us so much that He gave His Son to die for us. And He says, if you just accept Him, if you just accept Him, you can be my child. You can have His righteousness. He loved us enough to die for us. Why can't we love Him enough to live for Him? This gospel message is a free gift from God. We cannot obtain it through good works, or through anybody else, or through anything else. We must accept it by faith. God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, as it says here in Romans 1:17. The gospel is accepted by faith, and then it's lived out by faith as well. We cannot be righteous without God, and we cannot live righteously without His power as well. We should praise our wonderful God for the salvation He's given us, and we should never be ashamed of the gospel either. We should be willing to tell others about it. Tell others about it in our lives, how we live them. Tell others about it in our speech as well. So, a couple months ago, I was planning on taking my truck down to school. I didn't really have any other options, you know. That's the only truck I had back then. And some people might say, oh, that's a good option, you know. You got a Chevy, right? Well, Dan might have something else to say about that. I don't know. But there had been some problems with it before, you know. But I tried to get everything fixed, you know. And I was like, it's a 10-hour trip, you know. And I think I can make it, you know. One more trip, you know. So I believed that my truck could make it down to school. Now, whether that's a good thing to believe that or not, I don't know. But I believed that it could make it, and I had faith that I could make it. But nobody would believe that I had true faith that it would make it unless I got in the truck and went down to school, right? I could sit around all day and say, oh, I believe I can make it to South Carolina. I believe I can make a 10-hour trip in this old beater, you know? I believe it won't break down and fall apart on me. But if I didn't get in and actually make the trip, everybody would say, oh, his belief isn't placed actually in that, you know? Well, the same thing is true in God's plan of salvation. So thinking of the trip ahead of time took faith, then actually taking the trip took faith as well. So in God's plan of salvation, it takes faith to trust in Christ and accept salvation, but it also takes faith to live it out. It also takes faith to live for God and not for ourselves. So I'm thankful I made it safely to South Carolina. I know all of you were wondering. But I didn't have any problems. But in contrast, God is always faithful. He's always there for us. We can trust in Him. Whenever we trust in Him, our trust is not ill-placed. God is reliable all the time. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We need never doubt Him, because He is never changing. He will never leave us. We should be grateful that He desires for us to place our faith in Him. You know, God wants us to come to Him for salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, first of all. He wants everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be saved. Not everyone will, but He wants everyone to. And when we do come to Him in faith, we trust Him as our Savior, we become one of His children. We become righteous. We have the righteousness of Christ put on us. God shows us His power through that. And through faith, we can accept that. Through faith, we accept salvation. And then by faith, we live it out as well. So in conclusion here, this passage in Paul's letter to the Romans can be applied to us in our everyday lives. Paul makes one point in this passage that's the theme of his whole book. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And obviously, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel at all. Paul went through so many things throughout his missionary journeys, but yet he kept traveling. He kept doing what he had to do to spread the gospel. No matter what, he continued to spread the gospel. His life was set apart for the gospel of Christ. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then he gave it out everywhere he went. The gospel displays God's power, and that He saves all who believe from wrath. The gospel also reveals God's righteousness, and that He is just in declaring believers righteous who come to Him in faith. The gospel also is accepted through faith, and then it is lived out by faith. These truths about the gospel should burn in us, drive us to our knees in thankfulness for what God has done for us, but then it should also raise us up and help us to go out from here and spread the news about this wonderful gospel that God has given us. Why would we keep it back? Why would we keep back something that could save somebody else, you know? What if somebody was out in the ocean, and I've, you know, done commercial fishing before, and I know somebody falls into a really cold ocean, 40 degree water or something like that. They need help. They're not going to be able to swim very well in 40 degree water. And what if I had a life jacket or a life preserver or something like that in the boat, and I just held it back? What would people think of me? You know, that's not the right way that we should live. The gospel is like a life preserver. And if we hold it back from others, what are we doing? We should not be doing that at all. God wants us to give it out to others. He wants us to not be ashamed of the gospel. He wants us to give it out. We can give it out in our lives, in our walk, in our example as a believer. We can also give it out in telling others about the gospel as well. The gospel is God's message of mercy to humanity. Then, just as Paul, we must make the gospel message the focus of our lives. So how do we do that? Well, we show others the gospel, what the gospel has done in our lives, according to the Spirit's moving in our lives. You know, when we're saved, the Spirit comes and indwells us, and He tells us what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And we need to listen to Him. And we need not quench the Spirit. If we do that, both time and time again, then we won't even hear Him much anymore. We have to listen to the Spirit and what He says for us to do in our lives. We should show others what it means to be a Christian, what it means to live like Christ, to be more like Him. We should not quench the Spirit and submit to our fleshly desires. That's the easy way out. We need to do what's right. We must show others God's love. We can do that. We can also make the gospel our focus by telling others about it. This is our job as believers in Christ. In the Great Commission in Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus commands His followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is the gospel the focus of your life today? Paul challenged us all, as he wrote this passage, to never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Be proud of the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this passage. I thank You for Paul and his example of a believer and how a believer should be spreading Your word and how he was not ashamed of the gospel at all. He was proud of it and he wanted to tell others about it, and he did. I pray that You would help us to not be ashamed of Your gospel. It's Your power being shown. I pray that we would show that power to others and how You have helped us and how we can have faith in You and trust You because You're always there for us. I pray that we would spread that in our walk and in our talk as well. I pray You just give us a great day, the rest of this day. Thank You for this time, and thank You for Your word and what You've taught us. I pray You give us a great week. Help us to honor You this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Aaron.